This episode is brought to you by California Cryobank, my favorite sperm bank, y'all. Use code LOVEISLOVE for a free level 2 to their donor catalog at cryobank.com.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Towards the end, the last 1 month, we tried every single day.
We did it every day.
And he came over every day?
Yes. Because he works not too far from us, so he would come over after work. It got a little bit exhausting, but we were like, this is the month. Like, we're going to make this baby, you know? Yeah. So we were like, we don't want to miss it. And we had already done it 5 times before. So we're like, clearly we're doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. So let's do it every day. And we did it like basically for 30 days.
Holy moly. Welcome, 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 y'all, to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. I'm Jamie. I'm your host. And this is the show that celebrates, uplifts, and normalizes LGBTQIA plus families in all of our beautiful identities. And what beautiful identities they are. Am I right? Can I get an amen? Oh, yes, yes. And today's episode is a good one. I talked with Ashlyn and Jessica. They live in Texas. And they are two ladies in love who met in high school, actually, and they are building their family. And as you can imagine, with these roads to parenthood as queer folks, there have been many twists and turns along the way, and I'm going to let them tell you that story. It's a good one, and it just reminds you of how intentional and just beautiful our freaking families are and everything that gets put into them. So if you're looking for something uplifting, here's your listen for the week, y'all. And I don't know about the rest of you, but parenting, whew, in August, whew, when you're waiting for schools to come back, whew, it gets tough, y'all. Do you feel me? Do you feel me here? I'm always so excited when summer starts because it's a break from the routine and I'm so tired of the monotony of a routine, the school routine, getting up, getting them to school, picking them up, you know, like, I get tired of it. So I get excited for summer break and then you're going on vacations and all that stuff. And then as you know, August comes to a close and September is coming. I know a lot of people are actually already at school. New York is super late when it comes to starting school again, so we haven't started yet. But it gets to be so hard. You know, like their last camp is this week and Orion had a health thing. So he had a doctor's appointment yesterday, so I had to keep him home from the camp. So he was home with me all day. And it's like, oh my God, I just need them in school. Because if it was school, I could have just taken him out for the doctor's appointment and brought him to school. But no, it was camp. So I had to keep him home all day. You know, it's just like one thing after another with the summer break for me right now. I feel like, all right, bear with me here. This is going to take it back to like the 70s or the 80s. So if you're not of this generation, you can just fast forward right now. But I start to feel like, now, if y'all remember the original Mary Poppins with Julie Andrews, there's a scene in the beginning. I don't know why I quote this scene in my head all the time, but I start to feel like this person who says this line. There's a moment in the beginning of the movie when they fire Katie Nana, the original nanny, quits. And now you know how much I loved musicals as a kid and Disney as a kid, because I could quote this whole movie verbatim. But anyway, Katie Nana quits. And they're all up in arms. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And they tell the maid, who I can't remember her name, the maid's name, take the children upstairs. And the maid, she's my favorite character in the original Mary Poppins. She's walking them begrudgingly up the stairs. And as her back is turned to us, she goes, and who gets stuck with the children? Me, that's who. I'm sorry about my bad Cockney accent, but that's how I feel all summer long right now. And who gets stuck with the children? Me. I'm stuck with the children and I need a break, y'all. Mama needs a break. I need a spa day. So if any of you feel that way, just remember I'm here with you. I'm here for you. And who gets stuck with the children? Me. That's who. I'm stuck with the children. And we all need school to be back in session. Let's let those teachers do those hard jobs for us. All right. Anyway, I want to roll this tape. I want you to hear Ashlyn and Jessica's beautiful story. Don't forget to follow me on social media at the Queer Family Podcast across all the platforms. You can watch video episodes on YouTube. Don't forget that. Don't forget, you can support the show on Patreon at patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. So do all the things, and please continue to tune in and rate and review this here little podcast that could. And I wish you all wonderful parenting and making the baby days. I'm here for you. I love you. And thanks for tuning in. All right. Helen, Beulah, Nicole, Jerson, please roll that tape because it takes a village. And who gets stuck with the children? Me. Not Sue. It takes a village, y'all. Let's go. Roll the tape.
Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Hi, Ashlyn and Jessica.
Hello.
It is wonderful to be here with you on this lovely early morning. You two wrote in. I'm very excited. I read your email, and Nicole also read your email. And we were like, oh my God. Oh my God. Did you read that? It was so sweet. So here you are. Once again, just to remind the listeners, it doesn't take much. You just have to write the email. You don't have to be too crazy about the, I don't know how much you stressed over this email, but I feel like people wait years to write in, mm-hmm. But every single email I basically cry over. So don't worry anybody at home who's thinking of writing in your story, because we want to hear them all. Without further ado, let's get into this. Why don't you two give us your 30-second elevator pitch of who you are and why you're here talking to the Queer Fam Squad. On your marks, get set, go.
I'm Ashlyn.
I'm Jessica.
And we are the Sepulvedas from Houston, Texas. We were high school best friends who fell in love years later. We are into a journey that has been quite the journey.
A big journey.
But Jessica is now pregnant, 31 weeks with our first son. I am in my first phase of induced lactation journey. So that's us.
Boom. Oh my God. Oh my God. Congratulations. You are
Thank
almost
you.
There. All right, let's get into this. So it's been a journey, you said. Can you just give me like the top story of the high school and then the reconnect? Like, let's go into that briefly,
okay, for sure.
If we could.
We were best friends in high school. So this was like 15 years ago. I was like 15. Jessica was 16. So we were best friends, mm-hmm. like, inseparable,
right,
fast
from the
best
jump.
Friends.
Yeah. Sleepovers, all the whole nine yards.
We were fast friends. I mm-hmm. feel like we were literally inseparable. We remained really good friends all throughout high school. So Jessica was a cheerleader. I was a mascot. So that's how we met.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
Like, I was basically her handler.
Yeah.
So like I had to get her in the mascot suit. I had to make sure she knew all the dances and the cheers for every single game. And we had to go through it every single game because she would forget every single time.
I'm not very, I'm a little bit rhythmically challenged. Anyways, so she had a boyfriend in high school who I was not crazy about. Of course, that's
of course
so
not.
Stereotypical, right? He really was not a good guy, but I also loved her deep down, and I realized that now, but I definitely didn't realize that at the moment. It's kind of one of those things. You look back at your life and everything kind of makes sense, you know? But in the moment, you're just like, I don't know.
I don't know. She's a cool person.
Right.
I want to be around
you're
her.
You're just drawn to them, right?
It is interesting how, you know, hindsight, there's a reason there's sayings about hindsight.
We kind of disconnected because of that boyfriend. I kept telling her things, you know, like being that
he's
friend.
He's doing this. He's doing that.
I saw him on
Tinder.
Sending
me screenshots. And I'm like, no, blowing it off. Of course. I'm in love. It was like a 5.5-year relationship that I had with him, starting from high school, going on to college even.
Wow.
And so obviously I had my life figured out. I thought I knew what I was going to do.
We reconnected that night. We ended up hooking up, which was not on the plan, but you know, tears were shed and we were getting deep in what all happened. And then that happened, which like I said, I still can't believe that happened.
Yeah.
I'm so glad it did, but I'm like,
that was the first time it had happened. And also it was just like completely out of the blue. It just like somebody leaned in and there we go.
Yeah.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah.
It was literally that.
And then it was like, for me, it was like my whole life made sense all of a sudden. Like, I know that sounds so cheesy, but it's like, I literally was like, oh my God. Like, because, you know, obviously, like I said, I had been with guys and it was never like I was disgusted or anything, but it was just like, I wasn't connecting. Like I wasn't emotionally invested. I didn't, if some guy ghosted me, like I did not care. I just didn't, you know? And I'm like, why don't I care? But oh, well, like I'm just a chill girl, you know?
Right.
And meanwhile, like, no, you're gay. But yeah, so for me, that all like made my life make sense all of a sudden, which again, I went back a lot of times and it was hard, but I was like, okay, this is why, you know?
Yeah.
How did you feel in that moment?
I felt, well, I tried to play it off and was like, what? No, because we had a lot of drinks that night. And I was like, what are you talking about? We didn't do nothing. So I played off and then I was like, no, okay, I remember everything.
You tried to act like you didn't remember?
Yes. I sure did. And she's like, Jessica, I know you know what happened. Like, there's no way you don't know. And I was like, yeah, okay, you're right.
But Jessica, like, were you feeling, I mean, did you feel shame? I remember my first time, I felt so much shame and I was like, nope, 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 not me. Nope.
I think that's 100% it. Like, I was like, there's no way. Like, one, it's like I immediately thought of my family because my family's very, like, we're all about picture perfect, what looks good to everybody else. And so immediately I was like, there's no way that this can keep going on. And so I immediately was just like, no, like, we didn't do that. Like, totally hit it. I think at that point, I was like, ugh. I was almost scared in that point to kind of like even reach back out after. Like, I was hesitant to, do I still want to be her friend? Like, what if this happens again? Like, I don't want to have to go through that again. But
it sure did happen again.
It sure did.
Oh. A bunch more times.
It sure did happen again.
It's like we couldn't, like, not
we couldn't stop.
See each other. You know, we couldn't not be together.
Yeah.
So, but why we did fight it. Both of us did.
Like, it's like Brokeback Mountain. It's like, why can't I quit you?
And I feel like that's why we say, like, our journey has been so tumultuous because of that. Like, for me, it took me 6 months. 6 months we were together. I came out. It was not okay. It was not good. But, you know, it was what it was, right? My family is very religious. So I didn't expect it to go well, really. But also, I didn't expect it to go as bad as it did, maybe.
What happened?
Okay, so I'm a crier. I can't, like, speak to my dad without crying, right?
Yeah.
So I literally got the words out because I told my sister first. My sister was a huge ally for me. She still is, but especially at that time, because it was like, she was the one I told first. And I was like, can you help me, like, tell mom and dad, you know? Basically, she spoke for me because I couldn't even speak. I said, Jessica and I are dating and that's all I could get out. Because they know Jessica, you know, we've been friends for a long time. So it was just, my dad reacted with a lot of anger, you know, and I knew that I, in my mind, felt like I was going to have grace for him in that moment, you know, and I feel like I do now looking back. But at that time, it's like, I was just so hurt by the things he said. And it's kind of one of those things you can't take it back. You know, you can't unhear your dad telling you the thing, some of the things he told me, you know what I mean? You just can't, but we've moved on from it and he's great now. And that's really what matters. And yeah, I feel like that's what's most important, but it was very, very, very hard for a bit. And it was quick. It was like a few hours. And then it was kind of like, okay, sorry. Like, we did not handle that right. All of that.
Within those little seconds mattered the most.
Right.
Even though he came back and was like, I'm sorry.
Right.
That causes a flash in your memory. It's never going to leave. The moment I told my mom, it's ingrained in my brain. The way her face looked.
Yes.
The way she did what she was doing. You know, because it's such a big, such a huge deal. And the amount of feeling and emotion that has gone into you getting yourself to the place where you can't even say the words. There's so much there.
Yeah.
So much.
Right.
And then their reaction is forever ingrained. That's how it goes.
Right. And I feel like that's hard because I never want to, like, drum stuff up or, like, this has been, what, 8 years ago almost? That is so far in the past, but it does live in me, you know?
Right.
And I don't
there's little things like here and there where you think back, like, oh, like,
yeah.
I don't want to do this because I don't want him to have a reason to say
that
again.
Right. Anyway, so that's my coming out.
Yeah, and then, it took me 2 years to come out.
But the whole time you two were together.
Oh, the whole entire time we were still together. But mm-hmm. We were able to pull off. We're just best friends still. Mm-hmm. My dad took it better than my mom did. It took a while for me and my mom to speak to each other. She kind of just like needed to take her time. And I let her take her time to kind of like think through everything, like what she wants to, how she wants to handle it. I was basically communicating with my dad with anything. Mm-hmm. But now everything is good. Everything is fine. I think it was more of like my mom had this whole plan of like what her kids' lives are going to be like. Mm-hmm. And as soon as that switched, it was like, merp. It was hard not talking to my mom for a long time, especially now that we're going through her journey with cancer. It's almost like it's hard to ever be mad or think about that time because mm-hmm. it's like I didn't get those six months with her to like mm-hmm. talk to her. And now she doesn't even have a voice anymore because of her cancer. So it's like it's hard to ever think back on that and think like, dang, we missed those 6 months.
Yeah.
But sorry. Now like she's all good and dandy. I feel like she likes Ashlyn more than she likes me. So that's we're good now. But in that time, it was obviously hard not talking to your mom for 6 months. But
yeah,
everything is good now.
In the end, you still have your parents in your lives and they still have you in their lives, which is beautiful. And then, you know, relationships grow and change and evolve and all the things. And when babies come, things really change, yeah. especially when it comes to the grandparents. Mm-hmm. But that's a whole other thing, right? Even parents that weren't coming around before oftentimes come around, not every time. Whew. So journey to even getting to be like freely together. And this right. is mm-hmm. even, y'all are young, right? Yeah. So just to clarify, you know, the state of the world we're in, you know, we have come a very far way, a mm-hmm. long way. And yes, we have gay marriage. And yes, kids are coming out more and more. And, you know, our identities are being brought out easier and we're all more free, yet mm-hmm. still the struggles you two had, you're young, right? Yeah. So we're still.
Yeah. I was 22, 23 mm-hmm. when we got together, 29 now. And I feel like we're such a weird generation, like millennials, you know, it's like we have access to technology and the world is growing and all those things, but there's still so much of that.
Just that little
old
tinge.
School, yeah. you know, like mm-hmm. mentality. So it is odd, but.
So then you get married, it sounds like. And then what happens from there? When does baby talk come into the picture? And let's go down that path.
We got married in 2020, which was during the pandemic, which was a lot in and of itself. But, you know, we made that work. I think we talked about babies like from the jump, yeah. I feel like. Yeah, we really did. Like straight away. Like I actually never wanted kids, or at least I thought I didn't. Now
I always said that I wanted to at least have a kid by the time I was 30.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I think that's where we kind of drew our timeline.
Yeah.
Of like when we wanted or kind of needed to kind of plan things right. out.
Whenever we got together, I was like, oh, like I can have a baby with someone I love. You know what I mean? It's like in hindsight, I realized that I didn't want kids because I didn't want a husband, you know? At least that's what I think. Like, because yeah. as soon as it was with her, I'm like, oh, hell yeah. Like, I want a family, right. you know? Right. But it was like all growing up, I was like, ew, gross. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to be a wife. So I don't right. want to be a mom, you know?
Right.
Or a wife to a man.
I don't want to be the mom in a platonic
yes.
relationship situation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So then where do you take it?
I also didn't think that I wanted to carry a baby. Mm-hmm. So like that was an easy decision of, okay, Jessica will carry. So mm-hmm. we kind of would like, you know how gay people do with their friends, you know, like we're like, oh yeah, we want to have a baby. Like we need a donor, LOL.
I'm kind of joking about it. Seeing who we could kind of see as
you know,
friends.
You just like drop the seeds.
I just want to say, I never did that with my friends, but I think it's different generations.
Yeah. And they also are gay friends. Oh, so, yeah. So, like, our gay guy friends. Yeah, so, yeah, I guess yeah. it's maybe a little different. But one time, so we were, you know, in, like, a setting, and a friend of a friend was mm-hmm. like, I would do that for y'all.
He's like, y'all are cool.
And we were like, really?
Yeah, we are.
And he was like, no, for sure. And so we kind of like logged that, right? We like put it in the back of our minds because we weren't ready at that time. Mm-hmm. But then we bought our house and all of that and kind of follow that path. And we were like, okay, like we're ready. We reached out to him and we were like, hey, like, were you serious? And he was like, yeah, like I was super serious. Like, and I was like, okay, like, let's figure this out, you know? So we had a lot of talks about like how involved and all of that. And I literally made like a donor contract myself.
Okay.
Made it online. I don't even know. It was like law.com or something. Like a donor contract. I personalized it. He signed it. We had it notarized, like all of that. And then it was kind of like, okay, like, let's do this.
Can you say what were the things that you were making sure, like, what did you put into this contract? What was important to you?
That basically it would be our decision, like how involved or not involved he would be, which obviously that was the paperwork side of it, not the conversation side of it, but that was part of it. And then obviously that he realized that we were going to be the parents and that he would relinquish his rights right away. As soon as the child was born, that he wouldn't be on the birth certificate. I think that was really it. Like it
that
wasn't
was like the main things of it.
It wasn't super complicated at all. Which, you know, looking back, you do what you do. But
and he signed it, no problem. And like, did he talk to his family about it and stuff like that?
He did.
He did, and they were all pretty like chill about it. Like like we said, he is a gay man, so.
Oh, right.
His parents kind of never expected kids from him, even though that may be as convoluted as that is. That was just the case for them.
Right.
And he also never wanted children himself. So this was kind of a way for him to, you know, be part of something and create a child that you get to have the child, but you don't have to like raise it. And I think that was a really cool compromise for him. So
that's awesome.
I dove into the research, like how to do it. Like I watched a lot of YouTube videos, dove deep.
What do you search on YouTube to find that? Because I get into the wrong algorithms all the time on YouTube.
I did a lot of at-home insemination.
Okay.
Is what I Googled. And a lot of people do it. Like a lot of people maybe don't do it the way I would do it, but I wanted all the information. You know what I mean? So we had it down. So the donor would come here. Which, again, I don't know if we said this, but he was an amazing human being.
Oh, yeah.
Is an amazing human being. And we are so thankful to him for everything he did for us. Obviously, the journey is going to continue. So we'll get to that later. But I just don't want to forget to say that. So he would come here to our house. He would go in the spare bedroom, which is now our baby's room, which is funny.
Yeah.
And do his thing. And basically, like, he would just hand it off and leave. And usually I would cook dinner. So he would have dinner with us.
We always had dinner with him.
And then, he would do his thing, hand it off. And I would put it between my boobs to keep it warm.
Yeah.
Because I saw something, you let it liquefy. I don't know. The first time I, like, had to handle it, I was literally gagging. I was
gagging
like,
the whole time. While I was upside down.
But I got used to it. Anyways, so we did that.
I'm just picturing you like eating dinner with some sperm between your, you know. Da, da, da,
da. Literally.
So, and we would turn on all the TVs. We're like, so
oh,
we
Oh yeah,
can't
every
hear
single
anything.
TV. And he had AirPods. Because we were like, no, we're not doing none of that. We ain't hearing no sounds.
Yeah. So we did that for 6 months. So we tried for 6 months. I say 6 months, but it was a little bit off. So Jessica has PCOS. So tracking her cycle was a little bit hard.
Yeah, I would say,
like her ovulation.
Towards the end, the last 2 months or last 1 month, we tried every single
day. We did
day.
It every day.
And he came over every day?
Yes. Because he works not too far from us. So he would come over after work. It got a little bit exhausting, but we were like, this is the month. Like, we're going to make this baby, you know? Yeah. So we were like, we don't want to miss it. And we had already done it 5 times before. So we're like, clearly we're doing something wrong. So let's do it every day. And we did it like basically for 30 days.
Holy moly.
Yeah. And I don't like, obviously there's all these things where you need to save it up and do all that. But we were just like, let's just give it our all.
Yeah.
Because we knew at that point we were kind of done like emotionally. It was really, really hard. And and I know straight people or even a lot of people go through that. Of you're not necessarily having a loss, but it feels like a loss because every month you're hyping up and you're so excited, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, yeah. Oh, we were just broken every mm-hmm. month. Like, it was really hard. And so, and then that's when Jessica's mom got her cancer diagnosis towards the end of that 6 months. And so it felt a little overwhelming.
Yeah. Emotionally. It was like, I was saying that I was fine. Obviously, my body said, no, you're not.
Yeah. Right.
Because right. stress is the biggest factor, 100%. Has mm-hmm. to be. Because as soon as we were good with my mom, it was
well, see, and that's what sucks for queer folks, because there's so many factors. So it's already mm-hmm. a stressful situation just to begin with. You know?
Right. Absolutely. We told the donor that we were going to take a pause. We were like, let's take a break. Because that was also in the contract. We were going to try for 6 months. We mm-hmm. like, obviously, we weren't like, this is indefinite. We have ownership of your sperm, you know? So we did 6 months. So we kind of got to the end of that term. Mm-hmm. And then we were like, okay, let's reevaluate. We took a pause. Jessica.
Basically be 24-hour care for my mom for like maybe almost like a, it was like almost a month.
Ugh. No, baby, it was longer than
okay,
that.
It was probably like it almost was a long 2 months.
Time. Yeah.
3 months.
Yeah, I was thinking it was like 3 months.
Because my dad was still working out of town. And so me and my middle sister were kind of like taking care between. So like on my off days, I would be there 24/7 and then be there right after work. So I was very rarely ever coming home. Mm-hmm. And so that was like the thick of it. After like that, and she kind of got through most of her surgeries, is when we kind of like thought back, okay, when are we going to start back up again? Are we going to go with our donor, or are we going to go and try and see how much a doctor is going to be? Mm-hmm. And so at that point, we decided, let's just see how much it's going to be at a doctor. I went to my gyno yeah. to make sure. We just wanted to do one more follow-up on, is everything working down there?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so we ended up getting a follow-up. And she basically...
You were referred to the fertility
referred clinic. To that fertility
because
clinic
of the PCOS used. And all mm-hmm. that and the trying at home. They were like, yeah, like we've kind of... Her OB was like, we've done everything we can. So let's see if they can do anything.
So we went to our first appointment for that in November.
November, yeah.
Of 2023?
Mm-hmm.
Basically right from the jump, which we had no idea. As soon as that consultation ended, they said, all right, when's your period going?
She was like, I think I'm going to start in a few days. And they're like, okay, do y'all want to like do, go ahead. And we're just like, oh, okay. Like we needed to talk to the donor because basically the advice that we got, which obviously I feel like most clinics, in my opinion, will probably say this, is to scrap the known donor. It's complicated.
Right.
All of that. And they're a little bit more like, obviously it's surefire from the clinic, from mm-hmm. the, from a bank. It's like, there's no drama. There's no nothing. Or the potential for it, I should say. Mm-hmm.
Well, I've also heard people say that the doctors have said, listen, you're not getting pregnant. You're going to do better with fresh sperm. So, yes. you know, so.
Yeah, that's true. For us, they said, scrap the known donor. You tried for 6 months. It didn't work. So let's see what else we can do. So that was obviously a really hard decision for us. Because mm-hmm. at that point, we had fell in love with our donor. Like, of course. We had been through so much together, you know, and mm-hmm. it was like, because he felt the loss as well. Like he wanted that for us.
Hmm.
So it was hard to yeah. like say, we're so sorry, but we're going to go a different route. And he was so sweet, so very, understanding. Very sweet. Like, yeah, like he's just an amazing human being, honestly. But yeah, he was like, no, it's cool. So we were like, okay, let's do it. We did it that yeah. January. So we had our first appointment in November and it was like, let's get the money together. Let's figure that out. Jessica's insurance covered a lot. So that mm-hmm. was amazing. Not everything, obviously. Covered the procedure basically itself. The IUI like, procedure.
It was IUI?
Mm-hmm. Yes, which so is amazing. Covered,
that's great. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what about the donor, finding the donor?
We were so chill. And I don't want to say that like we didn't care who the potential biological father of our child would be. But like, so Jessica, I'm sure you've heard, you're probably CMV uh-huh. tested. Jessica is CMV negative, which mm-hmm. our doctor was like, that's like 1%. Like, don't even worry
so
about
rare.
That.
Like, you're definitely going to be
well,
positive.
Of course, this girl right here
negative.
Is negative.
Right.
She's one there of a kind. That made it very difficult. So after we filled, so we wanted a donor that looked like me. Obviously we're a mixed race couple, which I forget a lot, but Jessica's Mexican. I'm white-ish. I'm really a mutt, but I look pretty white. So we wanted someone who looked white as well, just so that, you know, our baby will be a reflection of the two of us. Mm-hmm. So after we did those parameters, I didn't even care what color eyes. I really wanted brown because that's what I have, but whatever. And then CMV negative, and then her genetic testing, mm-hmm. she was positive for something that apparently is very common. So common that place, CMV rare. So it kind of made for a hard combination.
Yeah.
So it really like right. narrowed mm-hmm. that search
so
down.
So we had like five yeah. to choose from after
and you
all
went to
that.
A bank or was it through this clinic?
No, we went to a bank. So we did Californian Cryobank. We used your code. Yes, ma'am.
You used our code?
Yes, I did. I did.
Yes. 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 We'll be right back.
Family podcast, love is love.
I have to interrupt for a second, y'all, because I love a good full circle moment. This episode is sponsored by California Cryobank, and Ashlyn and Jessica used California Cryobank to get pregnant, as did I for both of my children. It's my favorite cryobank out there. And it is also the number one sperm bank in the U.S. And it has been serving the LGBTQIA plus community for over 45 years and counting, y'all. And they're doing good things for our community. And I love a company that is doing the right thing, especially when it comes to queer folks. They also offer really great benefits for queer folks who are trying to build their families, like free vial transfers between partners and a personalized letter if you need it for second parent adoption. Both important things that you might not think about if you don't know LGBTQIA plus family building, but they do, and they take care of it at California Cryobank. Seriously, folks, no matter what you're looking for, California Cryobank's stringent screening process and diverse donor selection should help you find your ideal sperm donor. I know I did, and they will be with you every step of the way. I called them a couple times and they were always really awesome when I was trying to find my donor. I'm not even lying. So y'all go start your search today. All you have to do is visit cryobank.com and use promo code LOVEISLOVE. That's going to get you a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog, which you could also apply to a level 3 subscription for a discount. So there's many options here. Go make those babies just like Ashlyn and Jessica and me. And come tell me about it. All right, back to the show. Let's go.
Love is love.
So we did that, five mm-hmm. donors. We picked one. Honestly, okay, so we had narrowed it down to two based on health is what we looked at kind of. And then it was like one of them had all boys on their in their family and one of them had a sister and we chose the one who had a sister because we wanted a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's and really what it came down to.
Yeah, it did.
The reasons we choose the donors are very vast and varied and sometimes hilarious.
So we did that and Jessica had an IUI mm-hmm. on January 3rd. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like, you know, they prepare you, right? Like it's going to take 3 to 4 times. After mm-hmm. that, we'll reevaluate, blah, blah, blah. And so we were like, okay, so we're mentally preparing to like do this whole thing again that we've already done of the disappointment and blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. Like they say, wait 2 weeks, you know? So mm-hmm. Jessica kept saying stuff like,
I'm not pregnant.
Well, she'd be like, my boobs hurt in a different way that they've never hurt before, but I'm not pregnant. Or she would be like, I have this really weird cramp that I've never felt before, but I'm not pregnant. And I'm like over here, like, obviously not my body. I don't know what she's feeling. But in my mind, I'm like, kind of sounds like she's pregnant. Like, I don't know, but it kind of does. But I think obviously we had been let down so many times.
Right.
She didn't want to get her hopes up. Mm-mm.
Yeah, so, you can't even go there in your brain.
No, I couldn't put my brain into that. Mm-hmm.
So we had a freeze here, which does not happen very often. I know it probably sounds silly, but the roads froze and everybody stays home. Like, it's like, no, we can't drive. Because
I
literally
wish everybody stayed home because I hate the cold.
Right?
mm-hmm. I hate
it. So we stayed home and it was the day before we were supposed to test. And so I literally was like talking to Jessica's belly like, oh, please be a baby in there. And then I kept saying it, please be. And then I started crying. I'm like, please bawling. Be a baby in there.
And I was like, oh, no.
And then I was like, no, we need to know. We need to know right now.
Jessica was like, I can't handle this emotion right now. I'm because at that point, you are really trying to detach.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you've been through so much. I have been there. And by the time I finally got pregnant, I was so detached from it. I was adamant. It's negative. It's not going to happen. This is not, you know, and I couldn't handle anybody having emotion over it.
Right.
For, yeah. God forbid.
Right.
I was like, stop. Nope.
I was
we're not going there.
Crying?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just realized we skipped over our HSG. I've never heard. Okay. Should we talk about that?
You could go into
it. Okay. I'll just briefly say it because I did not know this was possible and I would like to share because it was scary.
It's traumatizing.
Okay. So you had an HSG, right?
Can you remind me what that is?
It's
again?
The fallopian tube thing.
When they put the fluid through the Yes.
Jessica did that because we had tried at home. They're like, that's the last thing. And we're like, let's just do it. Make sure everything's good. Clear. And then we'll move on. I didn't realize it was so like dramatic. Like I was at work. Like I didn't even go with her. And that's like, I was just like, yeah, like go ahead, you know? So, you know, it was painful for her.
Right. And they say you should have minimal bleeding.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And I was good like that day.
Yeah.
And then it was the next day, right?
Yeah. So we had a friend over, another one of our gay best friends, sleeping in our guest bedroom. And Jessica starts bleeding. Like
hard.
Like bad bleeding.
More than toilet I've full. Ever, like oh filling up the toilet bowl, literally, oh like with blood. So I was free. I'm kind of like a worrier by nature. Like that's just my vibe. So I was freaking out. Like I'm literally worst case scenario. Like Jessica's going to die. Like no one should be bleeding this much. Right. Mm-hmm. And so we're going back and forth all the,
and it's the weekend.
Of course it is.
Always.
So we call like an emergency OB and they're like, you need to go to the hospital. Cause you know, they say if you're bleeding through a pad more than an hour or something, like you need to go. So we went to the emergency room, was just not a good experience. They basically were just like, they didn't know what to do. And I understand that, like, it is what it is. But the guy, it was a male doctor. He was young. I mean, all those things. So he literally was like
mansplaining what a period was to us.
He's like, you know,
and we're like,
bleed, and
we're like, I have this big clots coming out every 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah. Trigger
like,
warning.
That's
probably,
not normal. I know what a normal period is.
Yeah.
Like, we wouldn't be here if I was having a normal
period. I'm going to lesbian explain baby making to you right now, mister. Like, I just did this.
That was horrible.
Ugh, that's infuriating.
But it ended up being because of her PCOS. They basically said when they put the balloon in her uterus, it like irritated. Because when you have PCOS, you don't shed your full lining every month.
Mm-hmm. So basically, it was all been stacked up.
Yeah.
And all of that literally emptied out.
Because it got irritated.
Did they know that that might happen?
No. Mm-mm. Nobody told us that. Nobody told us that. And it took 3-4 days to figure out what was happening to her. Because they basically discharged us and was like, yeah, you kind of just got to
watch her. If she starts getting real cold, bring her back in.
She's literally hemorrhaging. Like,
yes, literally. That's what they said. If she starts hemorrhaging. And I'm like, she already is hemorrhaging. It feels like it.
Both my wife and I had this same, what is it called? HSG? I should know that. And it was nothing to us. Like no pain, no after effects. So, you know, that's the thing with these things. Like and there's really no medical research because these are bodies with uteruses.
That was part of the reason I wanted to mention it was just because I had never heard that in my life. And I was Googling, I was doing all this stuff and I could not find anything.
There was nothing.
And that's what we ended up getting an appointment with
our fertility
doctor, and they checked everything and they were like, you're fine. But like that night, I literally like, I say me because Jessica's so chill.
I was like, just chilling on the toilet for like 2 hours straight most of the time.
Yeah. So, but I was freaking out. I legit thought I was going to wake up and she was going to be dead. Like, because I'm like, I've never seen this much blood. Our house smelled like blood. Like, it was insane. I'm like, it was wild. Anyways, so I wanted to say that just because.
Just in case anybody else.
We had never heard of that before.
Oh, and it's important because, you know, we have to be aware. And if the doctors aren't going to tell us, you know, there are cases of this happening, there are cases of that happening, then, you know, then we got to spread the word. Seriously.
Yeah. So, okay. So fast forward back to the pregnancy test. It was a freeze. We were home. We were like, let's just do it. So Jessica peed in a cup and literally handed it to me and left. Like she was like,
I ditched.
So I'm in there, you know, like holding it in and I'm like holding it up. I went out and I was like, okay. Like
it only been like a minute.
I was freaking out. Like that's a theme here. Jessica's just like chill. So we're like pacing, whatever. So I go in and it was on the counter in our bathroom. So I could see that there was a word, but I couldn't tell like what it was, you know? So I go, oh my God, oh my God, it says something. And she's like, okay, I don't care. Like, I look at it and I go, oh my God, it says pregnant. And she goes, no, it doesn't. And I said, yes, it says pregnant. Look. And then we literally just both like looked at each other and we just start bawling. Mm-hmm. We literally like collapsed to the floor. Like it was such a dramatic moment, but we were just like, and I kept going, babe, you're pregnant. Babe, there's a baby
literally
in there.
All day. Yeah. I was like, I have a baby in there.
It takes some getting used to, right? The whole idea of definitely. It. Even when you've been working so hard to do it, then all of a sudden it's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
So then that kind of has started our journey of like me feeling a little bit jealous. I don't like that word, but that's kind of how I felt. Like, you know, all these things are happening and, you know, Jessica's the mom, quote unquote.
Right, quote unquote.
And it's like, mm-hmm. I was kind of sitting there like, oh, like, I don't feel like a mom, you know, like,
right.
And it was nothing hurt. Jessica's amazing. I literally, she's my hero, but she was never like that. But it's just all the outside, right? Like, mm-hmm. oh, we're so happy for you. Like, we're so happy for, mm-hmm. like, and I was just like, oh, I just didn't realize that those emotions or stuff like that would affect me. And I wish it didn't, but it did. And I was just like, damn, this kind of sucks. Like,
yeah.
You know, and as happy and elated as I was or am like all the time, but there's still that little thing in the back of my mind. Like, am I a mom?
Right.
No, I don't, not really. Like, you know, especially because there's no baby yet. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't feel like a mom. I don't feel like a part. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, what did you do? Literally nothing.
Right. But that's not true. But, and this is all extremely normal and totally valid and something that needs to be talked about more.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Is the fear of being the non-bio parent and mm-hmm. everything that goes with that. But this is real. And, but also you were involved the entire time. Yeah. You've mm-hmm. been there. You're the one who's been crying on the belly, you know?
Yeah.
mm-hmm. It's true. Doing all the research, all the
doing all the research, right? And, but it's really hard to see that when now you're seeing, wait a second, I'm not having it. Nothing's happening with my body. I didn't contribute. I'm going to make you feel worse, but I didn't contribute.
No, that's exactly
like,
how I feel.
Genetically in any way. This baby's going to come out. And my fear was like, what if I don't connect with the baby? What if the baby doesn't connect with me? There's so many things that brains do to us, our anxiety does to us.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I feel like with, I say straight couples, I don't know if that's too general, but it's like, good job, dad. Like you get a pat on the back because you put it in there, you know? And so it's like, when you're the non-gestational parent, it's like, cool. Anyways, so I dealt with that. And then that kind of led to me thinking like, okay, maybe I do want to carry a baby, you know, eventually. Mm-hmm. Like, so I feel like once I kind of worked that out in my mind, I'm like, okay, like I'm good now. Like I feel good about that's going to happen for me eventually. And now we can kind of focus on her and all of that. But that's kind of where that those feelings led me personally.
I also want to say, you know, the reason why we need to talk about this more is also because, yes, like you're saying, it's like other people's reactions to the pregnancy and how other people take it. Mm-hmm. And the comments other people make, which they shouldn't matter in the long run. They shouldn't at all, but they do. And they have a lasting effect. That's why we need to talk about this more so people can be more like aware.
Yeah, of right. Absolutely.
Everything that goes into, anyway, it's important.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah, that led me to feeling like, okay, I'll carry a child. I don't want to say have a baby because we are having a baby. I'm having a baby.
You are.
But yes, so we told our families, elated, so excited.
They're so excited for a boy.
I know you talk about this a lot, is the boy thing.
Mm-hmm.
We were so scared to have a boy. We still are because he doesn't.
Yeah, I was gonna say, still are.
Yeah, I get it. It's a valid fear as well.
I think it's just like raising a good son, and it's like terrifying, you know, like a emotionally intelligent boy, you know, who is not a dick. Like, I don't know. Like,
not
I know
like
he exists.
Jessica's ex. Yeah, exactly. Shall we say.
Exactly. Like, I know they exist.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of good men in my life, but there's still like
that thought in the back. Yeah. Like, what's he going to turn out like?
Right. What if he's like.
It goes along with the non-gestational thing, and it's that nature versus nurture thing, and how much of it is nature and how much of it is really nurture. And you're not going to know till you're in it. You know what I mean? And then every day is like a. okay, am I doing it right? Am I, this is parenting. Here you go.
Right. Right.
Parenting lesson.
Yeah. And I know girls can be dicks too.
Oh yeah.
So like, mm-hmm. it's just, I think that that's unknown as well. Cause I have two female nieces as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I've only ever changed a girl diaper. I've only, you know what I mean? It's just like mm-hmm. surface level and a little bit deeper is the fear, but also like, we've obviously came around at this point. Mm-hmm. We're so excited.
You're going to love that little guy, that little baby. Mm-hmm. Like no matter what, you know, what kind of body parts the baby has, it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything in the long run. And we all know that. And then also that is scary because society is scary.
Yes. Right. And I think that's where the issue lies is not, I'm like, we're going to do right by him. You know, mm-hmm. I know I'm confident in that, but it's like society won't always, you know, and that's scary.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, I mean, you know, it is what it is. We're going to figure it out.
You're going to be great.
And I'm sure he's going to be good.
He's going to be great.
And I think the last thing we haven't talked about, I'm inducing lactation.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So I'm going to breastfeed. So that's exciting.
That is. You've come a long way from being like, I don't want kids.
I know.
I don't want to carry.
Literally.
Yeah.
Now I'm like Earth Mama. Like, mm-hmm. only because I don't have a baby inside of me. Jessica's like,
yeah, they're out of breath.
Yep. I remember those days.
And I'm like, don't you feel great?
I'm like,
don't you feel zen?
So good.
So Ashlyn, you're taking like the supplements and doing the things to induce lactation.
Yes. I met with the Breast for Baby ladies. Yeah. Was from here.
From like two seasons ago.
Yeah. And they gave me a discount because I was referred by your show. So that was nice.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
They were so nice. I feel like overall, we love living in Texas. I realize that we are both very female presenting. People don't assume we're a couple. Mm-hmm. So we blend in. So it's not like someone's going to yell at us on the street. I mean, because I know that that happens, but you wouldn't be able to tell that we're a couple, right? So we blend in. All that to say, I was a little bit apprehensive about finding lactation care for myself because I'm like, people think it's weird. I mean, they do. And everybody has their own opinion. Like I've heard a lot of things like that's not right. That's blah, blah, blah. But I'm just like, I don't really care. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so all that to say, it was comfortable for me to reach out to Breast for Baby because I'm like, they know what I want to do mm-hmm. and they're going to help me do it. Right. Without judgment.
Love that.
So they were so nice. She gave me a whole plan. So I'm still in phase one. I've been taking birth control for, I don't know, a long time since Jessica was like 16 weeks, I think. Now she's 30. So a few months.
And that's for induced lactation, right?
Yes.
That's part of the cycle. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I take that along with Gotru, which is like a supplement to help with breast tissue. Pretty soon I'll quit the birth control, which I cannot wait for because I am not good on birth control.
Mm-hmm.
I'm crazy, for lack of a better word. Just hormonal. Like I cry all the time over stupid stuff. Like it feels like I've never been pregnant, but it feels pretty comparable to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll start domperidone and I'll start pumping in a few weeks so that I can have milk come in by the time the baby comes, or that at least that's the plan. Yeah.
That's so exciting. Yeah.
Oh my God. And we're so sometimes people do it to where, but we're both going to breastfeed just to balance that. But kind of my thought process on it was like, what an amazing thing for me to be able to help her in that way, like, you know, relieve some of that. I don't want to call it a burden, but, you know, I'm sure once they come, you'll say burden, you know,
like it's hard.
Right. And to be able to support her in that way. And also for the bonding aspect of it with me being the non-gestational parent, being able to use my body to feed my baby, which I feel like is pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited for you. I think this is going to be such beautiful bonding time. It's going to be great. I love it. Love queer. But this is everything. It's everything. It's amazing.
Yes.
It's amazing and beautiful. Woo, it's so exciting. Thank you for reaching out and for telling your story. And I am so elated that the show and the discounts helped you get here.
So much so.
Sure did.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, this podcast is such a huge part of our journey. It's like, even just in the little things, like I think I told you in my email, like, I didn't know anything about anything. Like,
yeah,
we live in Texas. I didn't know I was gay at all. So it's not like I'm growing up kind of taking things in. Like, I never thought that that was going to be LGBT fertility care. I did not think was going to be have to be what I needed. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's like your podcast is the first thing I found. And I just soaked it in. Like, mm-hmm. I literally was just every day I binged all of them, caught up. And then every week I'm just like, okay, like, what am I going to learn? You know? And I would Aww. Take notes. I'm such a nerd, honestly.
No, I mm-hmm. love this. Oh my God. Make me cry.
But it really did yeah. like teach me so much, so much. And her too, because I obviously repeat all the information and she's just like, what? Okay.
And every time you're on a road trip, yeah, Ashley's yeah. like, okay, well, let's put this on.
Yeah.
And listen, like, I get it. And
yes.
Jessica's like, oh God, here we go again. I get it. I know how it goes.
Every yeah. day it was something new. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I'm like, did you know that I can breastfeed? Like, even if I don't carry the baby? And she's like, awesome. Like, that's yeah. cool.
I'm like, okay.
She's just okay. like such a chill person.
I love it. It's amazing. This is perfect. I'm so excited for the two of you. You have to keep me posted.
I will. Yeah, we will for sure.
We are all invested now. And I wish you a really easy, chill rest of your pregnancy and labor. And I'm sending healing energy towards your mom too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is so exciting. I'm so excited for you.
Thank we you. We are too. The countdown is starting. Now we're starting to nest like
uh-huh. hard.
Hard.
I know how it goes.
Yeah.
You start redecorating all the yes. things. Yep. Yeah. Here we go.
We bought a deep freezer because I'm like, we're going to have so much breast milk. We're not going to have anywhere to put it.
Sure did. We sure did.
I hope you get a lot of breast milk.
I hope I so too.
I hope fill so it up.
Too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much, Ashlyn and Jessica. This is awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for everything you do. It really, it means a lot to our community, you know, generally speaking.
It no really problem. Does. Anytime. Anytime.
Queer Family Podcast.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah. A huge thank you once again to my sponsor for this episode, California Cryo Bank. Use code LOVEISLOVE for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. And then come tell me about it.
Love is love.